Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. In our verse-by-verse study through the first epistle of John, we came on the broadcast Monday, and again on Tuesday, yesterday, to chapter 5, verse 13, and probably the best-known text in the Bible on the subject of assurance of salvation. And it is very important that we understand this correctly. I find that there's an awful lot of misunderstanding about that subject, and it's too important to misunderstand. We have to understand in the first place that there's a difference between salvation and assurance of salvation. It is possible to be saved and to lack assurance. It is also possible to have a confidence that is a false assurance, a counterfeit assurance, and not to be saved at all. That is a tragic situation. To be saved and not to have assurance is an unfortunate situation, an unnecessary situation. And that is why it is so important that we study a text like this carefully, not jump over it too quickly, but take our time to settle down and to understand what it is that the Bible teaches and to dispel some of the erroneous ideas which often surround the subject of assurance of salvation. And so, to that end, we are returning to our text in 1 John 5:13 on this Wednesday, January 23. We are grateful for your presence as we gather together around the Word of God, and we are very thankful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Here is the text. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." We recognize that this text emphasizes truth, that assurance of salvation is based not upon a feeling, not upon an event, not upon something in my history, but it's based upon something which John has written. "These things I have written to you." It is based, therefore, upon the truth that has been written in this epistle, primarily, though it would actually include everything that is found in the Bible in a broader sense, but specifically, John has in mind the things that he has written in this epistle for the first 5.5 chapters before he finally comes to this text. The assurance of salvation of which John speaks is built upon a foundation of the truth that he has already communicated. It is obviously directed toward those who are already believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know." It is therefore possible, as John seems to indicate here, it is possible to believe, but not to have full assurance of salvation. And so, writing to those who do believe, I write in order that you may come to a full assurance of salvation, or we might say a stronger assurance of salvation, or we might say a more biblical assurance of salvation. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Two things are indicated there. They are, number one, that saving faith is persevering faith. Those who have truly believed will continue to believe. And that's indicated by the twofold statement about believing. I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so I say it again, that saving faith is persevering faith. In other words, if you know someone who used to believe and no longer believes, what is the explanation for that? For some people, the explanation is that they used to be saved and they lost their salvation. But that's not indicated by this text. This text indicates that those who believe in the name of the Son of God, believe in such a way that they may know that they may have eternal life, that they have a true and biblical-based assurance of salvation. The result of that is that they will continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Therefore, the indication is that if someone stops believing, their faith was never a saving faith. And I don't have time to go back through several texts in the New Testament that teach that it's possible to have faith that falls short of saving faith, but the Bible is very clear that that is the case. There is a faith which falls short of saving faith. It may have some kind of intellectual assent attached to it. Having heard the gospel, there is at first no rejection of it, no pushing back from it. There is a willingness to say, I believe that. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. I believe that he rose again bodily from the dead. I believe that he's ascended back to heaven. I believe that those who trust in him will have eternal life. It's possible to believe all those things as a matter of doctrine, as a matter of information, as a matter of truth. That applies broadly and generally, but without embracing that for yourself with a full commitment of faith, a full surrender of faith, a full acknowledgement, a full understanding of your need of salvation, with falling short of a conviction of sin and a desperation that you must have Christ or you will perish. It's possible to believe in various ways that fall short of this saving faith which truly lays hold upon Christ for one's own personal salvation. Now, I said I wasn't going to go through other texts, but let me just point out one, and then there are many others we could do and may do at another time. But there is such an interesting statement in the Gospel of John. We come to this statement at the end of chapter 2, and here's what it says. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Stop there. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. At first glance, that may very well be taken by some as an indication that these people became Christians. They believed, didn't they? Isn't that what the Bible says, that if we believe, we will have eternal life? So many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did, but, verse 24, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, what is that talking about? That is telling us that they did not believe savingly. They did not believe in such a way as to be joined in saving union to Christ. Their faith did not make Christ theirs and did not make them Christ's. That's clear. Whatever else this statement is saying, that much is surely clear. If they believed in him, but Jesus did not commit himself to them, some translations actually say Jesus did not believe in them because of the actual Greek words that are used there, which tells us that that word belief can accurately be translated believe, as we generally translate it, or commit, as another appropriate translation of the same word. Faith involves more than intellectual assent. It does involve the commitment of the soul. It involves the activity of the will as well as the activity of the intellect to apprehend the truth. It also involves a will in surrendering to that truth and committing oneself to that truth. And therefore, one important aspect of saving faith is a commitment of oneself, a commitment of one's soul to Jesus Christ. It is an act of desperation. It's like a drowning man reaching out and holding on to what are those round things that they throw out to people who are drowning? It's not a life raft. It's a life-saving device. I can't think of the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about. And someone throws that out to him in the water, and he grabs hold of it and holds on for all he's worth until he gets pulled to safety. That's a real commitment. It's one thing to say, yeah, I believe that if I fell in the water and somebody threw me one of those things, it's possible. It's potentially able to rescue me. But it's another thing to be in the water and to commit yourself to it and to sit there and say, well, I've got some intellectual questions about whether this lifesaver, I guess that's really what you call it, is sufficient. If it's large enough to hold me, if it's big enough to bear my weight, you could ask all kinds of questions about it. And while you're sitting there in the water deliberating about whether or not you really want to commit yourself to this particular device, time passes by and you drowned in the meantime. And that's the way it is, I'm afraid, with some people. So that it's possible to have an intellectual apprehension that is not saving faith, and we see it here in John chapter 2. Many, verse 23, believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. That in itself should probably cause us to look a second time. They believed because they saw the signs, because they saw the miracles. They were impressed with something external. They were impressed with something sensational. They were impressed with something which moved them emotionally, but that was not a heart faith. It was not a heart commitment to Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that. He knew what was in their heart. He knew their profession of faith was not a genuine heart commitment. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You get the point? Now, we could go through a number of similar texts. So the Bible does teach that it's possible to have some type of faith, some type of belief, which falls short of saving faith. And that's why John writes this. I want you to have Bible-based assurance because you have true saving faith. And if you don't have true saving faith, you need to find that out now rather than after you die. Because if you don't have the real thing, then that's what you need. You need the real thing. So this is a very important text. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.